Connor Harbutt back with you once again here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. Of course, now time for our morning interview, our 740 interview, as we talk with Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt. He's on the phone with us now. Derek, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right. So obviously a lot of issues to talk about today, most of which actually center around the COVID-19 virus outbreak that's kind of taken the nation by storm. And I understand you had a couple things you wanted to talk about today. So let's go ahead and get to the first topic. And that's going to be something that came out last Friday with Kansas being basically declared to be in a state of emergency, the price gouging law that is rarely invoked but is now in effect.
Well, things have moved so rapidly on this nationally and here in Kansas. Even just a week ago, I think most folks had, unless you're really following the news, had heard discussion of coronavirus or COVID-19, knew that there was an issue and a problem, but really hadn't focused on the impact on all of our daily lives. And now here we are a week later with a presidential state of emergency declared nationwide, with a gubernatorial declared state of emergency statewide, both of which look like they're going to last for some time. And that means that a lot of things have changed over the last week. From the standpoint of the Attorney General's office, one of the things that's changed is that when the governor or the president, actually either one independently, declared a state of emergency, the Kansas price gouging law, or actually it's called the profiteering from disaster law, but it is a price gouging law, kicked in automatically. That law has been on the books since shortly after the terrorist attacks on September 11 of 2001. It kicks in whenever there is a declared state of disaster emergency by the governor or by the president. And its essential rule is that during that time when the state of emergency is in effect, any what the statute calls necessary good or service, in other words, anything that consumers would tend to need to respond to the state of emergency, to the disaster, may not have its price unjustifiably raised, that's a term in the statute, by more than 25% compared with what the price was the day before the emergency was declared, or compared with what the price for the same or similar product or service is within the market area. So in other words, you can't have one seller who's out there doubling the price of hand sanitizer or doubling the price of Clorox wipes if everybody else in that market area is selling them for 125% or less of what the price was before the emergency. Now, this is an extraordinary measure, and obviously for those of us that are generally free market people and not keen on government price controls as a philosophical matter, it's really an uncomfortable application of the law. But the reason it's on the books is that whenever we're in a state of emergency, as we are now, there are extraordinary things that happen. And there are always, a select few, unfortunately, whose human nature leads them to try to make a quick buck off of everybody else's inconvenience. And so here we are. So I just alert everybody that that law is in effect. And if there are situations somebody sees where they think the law has been violated, somebody's taking advantage of everybody else who's trying to live and play by the rules as we work our way through this as a community and society, they can file a complaint with our office, our Consumer Protection Division, and we'll take a look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, so in essence, in a short form, so to speak, it's basically just a law to ensure that those who need these materials during situations such as this can have fair access to those materials.
It's to make sure that the price of the materials doesn't become an impediment. There's the price, and then there's the actual availability. You go down to the store now, and the toilet paper aisles and the hand sanitizer aisles have a lot of empty shelves because people have bought everything up. This doesn't really address that latter issue. It's not an anti-hoarding law, but, it's also possible to imagine that the shelves are full, but most people can't buy what's on them even though they need it, because the price has tripled or quadrupled or quintupled since right before the disaster. So this really addresses that latter circumstance. And we have seen a handful of cases around the state. After 9/11, I remember this well, nearly 20 years ago now, but after 9/11, when everybody was then in a panic, because, of course, we hadn't seen that disaster coming until we woke up that morning in September and and it happened at 9 or 9:30 in the morning. You know, the first thing that people noticed and started to express concern about was the price of gasoline, which went up dramatically shortly after 9/11. You understand why. Mm-hmm. It's because people were fearful that there was going to be a military action in the Middle East and the Gulf, that America's fuel supply was going to be interrupted because we were so much more dependent on foreign oil from the Middle East back then than we are today. And out of a panic, prices started to go up. That's what really led the legislature to enact this law in the first place.
All right. So obviously it will be in effect until, like I said, I think even it was a specific date or until the disaster declaration is over. Is that correct?
That's right. Under the law, the price gouging provision is in effect until either 30 days from when the disaster is declared or after the disaster declaration is lifted, whichever occurs later. So at this point, we know that this will be in effect until at least, I believe it's April 11th, which is 30 days after the declaration. And it, you know, it appears likely that either the presidential declaration or the gubernatorial declaration or both are going to remain in effect much longer than that. And if that's the case, then the price gouging law stays in force until the disaster declaration is lifted. So at least until April 11th, probably longer than that, depending upon what the governor and the president do.
All right. So, of course, that is the state's price gouging law. And so we'll move on to another topic. Now, speaking of people taking advantage of others, a lot of coronavirus scams sweeping across the nation at the moment. And you actually released a press release last week kind of talking about that.
Yeah, sadly, any time there is a major disruption in our lives caused by a disaster or whatever it may be, in this case, obviously, the concern over the spread of the virus and the disruption in our lives is we as a society try to do those things that as they say, flatten the curve, that slow the spread of the disease in order to better manage it and hopefully save lives over time. But as all that happens, and we get these orders about don't meet in groups of more than 50 and wash your hands all the time and all that sort of stuff, cancel discretionary social engagements, all that sort of stuff, there are always some crooks out there that decide they want to take advantage of people's apprehension or maybe of their goodwill. And so we've already started to see them. Quacksters who are selling either on the internet or in some cases we've seen a couple of door-to-door cases around the state, cures for coronavirus. Well, there's not a cure. There's not a vaccine for coronavirus now. Probably the highest profile case of that, we haven't seen it in Kansas that I'm aware of, but it's been in the news nationally. The former televangelist, Jim Baker, remember him from the 1980s, I think it was. He served a prison term for fraud back then, and it appears he's back at it. He's over in Branson now, but he's been selling some silver-based coronavirus treatments. There's no science that suggests that stuff he's been selling has anything to do with making anybody feel better or treating any disease, much less COVID-19. And so he's been sued by the Attorney General in New York, where he's been selling the stuff, and the Attorney General in Missouri, where he's based. So that's the type of thing that we just want to warn people to be alert for. Don't suspend common sense just because things are disrupted now. And if it looks too good to be true, it almost certainly is. The related issue there, you know, that's an example of bad guys trying to prey on people's worries. But there are also hucksters out there. We've seen them already in the last week, who try to prey on people's goodwill. Folks that set up bogus charities and say that they're raising charitable money contributions to support coronavirus victims or to support research into cures for the disease. And obviously there are legitimate charities that do that, but there are also intermingled with them hucksters who are just out to make a quick buck, basically steal your money, get you to give it to them because you think you're giving to a good cause. So we remind people to be very cautious of that. Don't suspend common sense. If you're going to make charitable contributions, it's best to keep your money local with charities you know, and then your money stays in the community. If you're going to give to a larger national type of cause, that's certainly good and fine. But again, make your giving plan. Don't respond to solicitations that show up in your mail or your email inbox. Instead, sit at your breakfast table or wherever you make these decisions. Decide who you want to support. you contact that charity. Don't wait for them to contact you. That way you know you're talking to the legitimate charity, and then go ahead and give whatever it is you intend to give. And if you want to check out a charity, we do maintain the state's website along with the Secretary of State's office at kscharitycheck.org, kscharitycheck.org. And most charities that solicit money in Kansas are required to be registered there. You can look them up, find out something about them, see some of their latest financial and tax information, and at least get a good sense of where your money's going.
All right. So, of course, I'm glad you mentioned where you can check charities that do or that you do want to check on, because you obviously there's a lot of them out there. There's too many to count. And so you need some place. You need that one central place where you can check on whether something is legitimate or not.
You bet. And if you didn't jot down the KSCharityCheck.org, just you can Google or otherwise search for the Kansas Attorney General's office. And if you get to our webpage and go to our consumer section, you'll find a link over to the charity, so you don't have to remember that specific URL. Just look up the Attorney General's website, and you can follow it through from there and get to the charity check page.
All right. Well, I think that'll go ahead and do it for us here today. But once again, thank you so much for calling in, Mr. Schmidt, and we'll look forward to speaking to you next time.
Well, thanks very much. Appreciate the interest. And just remind everybody, information's changing very, very rapidly, and it will be for a while here. But everybody, just use our common sense. Stay calm. This too shall pass.
Yeah, absolutely. So once again, thank you so much for calling in, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next time.
Thank you. Take care.